The tide of time shall never his covenant remove. His name shall stand forever, his changeless name of love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those of you who have been listening to many sermons over many years have probably discerned by now that oftentimes a sermon has three points. The ideal sermon. Imagine my excitement then in today's collect and gospel. I found not one, but two sets of three points to give you. The collect of the day refers to the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, a threefold source of temptation that encompasses the broad range of temptations that Christians face in this life. This is, of course, related to the three temptations faced by our Lord in the wilderness. You might also recall our service from Holy Baptism, in which we explicitly renounce the world, the flesh, and the devil as we begin our journey in the kingdom of God. Well then, in the gospel for today, we find, of course, the summary of the law, which we say at the beginning of every Holy Communion service, except when the Decalogue is said. And this summary of the law is a description of love as opposed to temptation. It describes that which is real and eternal as opposed to that which is illusory and fleeting. Love for God, expressed by the threefold heart, soul, and mind, is the antidote to the threefold temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this love is healing and restorative, flowing from above like a living fountain of water. Take a closer look now at the threefold temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Discuss briefly the attitude that Christians take towards the world and the flesh. And the term world, of course, is used in different senses. It can mean the universe, as we know it in our experience and through investigation of the sciences. It can also mean the organization, the organized human community, with civilization and culture, industry and art, and all of our nobler and baser pursuits. We live in this world, and we enjoy all the benefits and pleasures of this life, because God created everything and called it good. But we also care for the world that we live in. Concern for God's creation comes naturally to the Christian, because we regard all things living as our fellow creatures. What I've just described to you is not the same as the world, the flesh, and the devil referred to in the collect for today. Here, what we mean by the world is the world in the way it has gone wrong and fallen from its original goodness. The same could be said of the flesh, for here we mean the flesh as an end in itself. We mean enslavement to the flesh, or the enthronement of the flesh as God. The Christian flees from this sort of inordinate, excessive, or idolatrous devotion to the world and the flesh, because this flows from illicit desire rather than true love. Then there is the devil, the source of temptation, by whom we simply mean the enemy of God and the enemy of our souls. He once held a position of highest honor among the angels, but through unchecked pride, he exalted himself against God and was cast down from heaven. He currently is said to occupy the realm of this world for a season until his doom is sealed, together with those who follow him when they are judged at the last day. So the world, the flesh, and the devil all refer to what God once created and called good, but which has since been diminished by evil. What do we mean by evil? St. Augustine defines evil not as a presence, not as something concrete, but as an absence or a lack. God has created all things in this world and pronounced them good. However, when the goodness of God's creation is diminished through human sin and error, or through the work of the devil, then that is evil or less than good. We might also illustrate this further by thinking of darkness, which is the absence of light. Many a person in our society today could tell a story with tears of how the temptations of the world, the flesh and the devil, the pride and all the pomp and vainglory of the same may have seemed inviting at first, but how they led to disaster, ruin, enslavement, misery, and death. A life of disordered affections is a life diminished by sin, and as such is a foretaste of hell. Well, into this gloomy picture enters today's gospel lesson with its threefold formula of love. Love towards God that fills heart, soul, and mind. A love which is balm for the healing of our souls. The summary of the law, which we also call the law of love, is the very restoration of goodness, the return of the real and eternal. Love is best described as an action, not as a mere feeling in our chests. And when love is truly held, it is also expressed to our neighbors as well as ourselves. St. Bernard of Clairvaux describes our relationship to this love not as a channel which spreads water as it receives it, but as a reservoir which fills and overflows superabundant goodness all around without diminishing its supply. Along with this illustration, I'm reminded of the 23rd Psalm, where David writes, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." In the collect of the day, we rightly ask God to give us grace to withstand the shadowy, illusory, and utterly unsatisfying offerings of temptation. The tempter cannot create, but only destroy. He cannot raise up, but only pull down. The temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil lose their luster in the face of the glory of God. As Christians, we live in tension between two worlds, earth and heaven. But when we inhabit earth as we ought, then both worlds are ours. We come to experience love in the here and now, as well as the endless love in the hereafter. The cherubim and seraphim say before the throne of God, "Heaven and earth are full of the glory of God." As we order our lives in God's kingdom, a kingdom which embraces heaven and earth, may our lives on earth also become a foretaste of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.